Is everyone's voices ready?
Yeah. We're ready.
I have a face for radio.
Me too.
Okay, sweet. Well, it's Evan and Matthew here with the Melted Podcast, the first episode for the Durban Is Yours sort of series. And today we have Dean, Dylan, and Dave here with all these yesterdays. Guys, would you want to introduce yourselves?
Hey, how's it going?
What's happening, guys? How's it going? Dave here.
Yeah. Okay, do you guys want to mention what instruments you play each?
Dylan, guitar and vocals.
Dean on bass and looks.
Dave on drums and some backing vocals.
Okay, sweet. So I'm going to jump right in by saying you guys like sort of appeared in late into 2016, and from the offset you guys had like a pre-established following. I mean, I played your first show with you when I was still in Mets. Do you guys have a lot of friends or just really good marketing?
Neither.
We have about four friends. Marketing is a huge part of it, I'd say.
Do you guys,
we have some good friends, though. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we've got a lot of people supporting us, you being one of them, obviously. The Winston pub's been good to us. Durban's been fairly good to us, I suppose, but marketing and mates, I guess.
Yeah, definitely marketing.
Because you guys always have a lot of people at your shows, and do you think that it's, like, you've tapped into a community that Durban hasn't seen for a while, maybe?
Maybe we're doing something a little different. We kind of feel that we're a little too soft for the heavy guys and a little too heavy for the commercial guys. So maybe we're in between that. Yeah. It's kind of been the missing link for a while. The gene pool, I don't know. So something like that.
Because you guys don't seem to play shows like every weekend. So do you think like meticulously about the shows that you guys play?
Yeah, I think we do. Like, I think we. It's also you've got so few venues, and you know it's a fairly small scene that we got. So to play every week is kind of gonna just
makes you a parody.
Yeah, and eventually people get bored and they don't want to come and see you. I mean, even the biggest acts we've had in Durban have always had moments of playing too much can kind of affect a lot of your crowd and
to
your
be honest,
gigs.
People don't have money to go out every weekend.
That's also
well.
True.
So it's selective.
Yeah.
Try and play a show towards payday. It's always a good idea.
Yeah.
After payday
is always good.
So you guys think that you can play too frequently, like in your own town?
Yeah, definitely. I think when you've also got a record, you can only when you've got an album out, you can only really play enough shows to show people what you've got, sell that album a bit. So you can definitely kill it, but yeah, it's also good to get out fairly regularly. Don't want people to think you've disappeared.
Yeah,
it's kind of a fine balancing act, I guess.
Sweet. And then for you guys, for like anyone who's listening that's unaware, you guys were like in bands before. Like I know you were in Dominate and Big Zero, and you guys were together in Bad Murphy.
Yeah.
And then why do you think that all these yesterdays was sort of the one that maybe breached through a little bit more than previous bands?
I think attitude was a big thing. We came in here with no expectations. We just, Dave and myself got together, started writing some songs. I phoned Dean and said to him, we need a bass player. If you buy a bass, you can join the band.
He
went and bought a bass.
He actually did it. We didn't think he was going to do it, but he did it, yeah.
Now we can't get rid of him.
Now he's here.
We came in with the goal of writing some feel-good music with no expectations and to see where it goes from there. And it's really done us well.
It started off just as fun, and we're still having fun.
Yeah, 100%. Fun is the key element.
Yeah.
Just to keep it real, man.
And what was it like sort of being the new member, like amongst all of this?
I still feel like the new member, but these guys are skilled. Musically, Dave's talented, Dawes talented. I've watched Dylan in the music scene for as long as I can remember. And to play with these guys, I've definitely had to stretch myself and practice off a hell of a lot more. But it's been good for me musically, as the recording sessions, playing live, being in the band room, it's been awesome. And I couldn't ask for a better bunch of guys to play with. It's definitely a brotherhood that we got here.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to where this is going to take us.
Cool, man. You can stay in the band.
Thanks, man.
Keep saying nice things about us like that.
No, off the camera.
And then with regards to like all these yesterdays having a bit more of a breakthrough, do you guys think that the internet has changed the way that sort of music distribution goes as with regards to your previous bands, I suppose?
Massively, yeah. Huge.
Man, when I started in the early 2000s, we didn't have internet or Facebook or anything like that. We stood on the street corners and had our flyers, and we had these printed little A5 flyers that we'd give out to guys. And I still got some of them. I still got friends who've got some of those flyers from those days on their walls in their bedrooms and their band rooms. The internet's been a blessing and a curse. Because people
drawing
don't have
up those old like flyers, photostating them deluxe.
It was a different time. It was fun and exciting because you got to meet so many different people. Now you have 200 friends on Facebook that you've never met, and they're all coming to your show and they never show. it's a catch-22.
And then, like, with the EP that you guys released, that was free, and to a digital capacity, is that sort of your attitude towards the music that you want to be releasing, with it being free? Or how do you guys feel about releasing music for free versus, I don't know, paying money?
Well, we have hard copies available. We have lots of people that approach us and say, we want a hard copy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a collector of music. I collect vinyl.
Yeah.
I like to have a hard copy, but free is also good. Free is a good marketing way to get your music out there.
Yeah.
I don't mind. Download it, share it with your friends. It's done pretty well for us. Dean's been promoting us, radio stations overseas. Mm. We've had a bit of radio play constantly over the last month and a half or so, and the guys are liking it.
Yeah, you can cut off your nose trying to only sell your music to some degree, which I respect guys that are doing that. You know, especially the pro guys that do it for a living and that's all they do. We
different
all have day jobs,
I mean, I guess.
Mm. For sure. But if you know, a lot of guys are now just touring to make their money now, and you know, put your music out there just as a promotion kind of thing, which is it's difficult. It's obviously, you know, you got to have everything registered and. But you're getting radio play. You've got to have that stuff out free. To a certain extent, it's a good thing.
And then, with regards to the production or quality of the release, the production was unheard of for Durban bands with your release. Were you guys, how did you go about picking who you're working with recording and mixing and mastering?
It kind of came around in a weird way. It was a guy that we knew of, but didn't know personally. And we offered him to come in and sit with us at a practice, and he came and hung out with us and he said, this is something I really want to do. And obviously we put the budget together for it, broke a bank, and went in there, and we worked pretty meticulously with it. We rehearsed a hell of a lot before we went
definitely.
In trying to make the process as effortless as possible. Got in there, got the drums down, did a good sound on that, spent some time on the bass.
Yeah, literally the first
guitars.
Day was just setting up the kit, getting mic placements. It was very meticulous. I learned a hell of a lot. Like,
the thing is, Brent Quinton was the guy that recorded the EP.
Yeah.
He was very much became a fourth member of the band during this period. He was almost like our Bob Rock, which was nice. And he became very invested in the product. And, you know, he would sometimes say, tweak this here or do a little bit there, but like, you know, we kind of steer him out of it. And
yeah,
he does have a more poppy element to him, but no, he definitely invested in the project, and he was a good guiding voice for us.
Yeah, it felt like he believed in it, which was good. It really did feel good that he believed in what we were doing.
After the first practice, he came in and he said, well, you know, let's do this, let's make this work. And we still kind of went away from it and left it a bit, and then he finally said, come, when are we recording this thing?
Yeah.
And then we eventually got it, and then it snowballed. Mm-hmm. I mean, what did it take us, about 3 weeks to do?
Yeah, all in all, it was pretty much three
just
weeks.
Just did sessions in the evenings, because obviously we all have full-time jobs.
Yeah.
And, so we'd go in from 6 till 10, 11 at night.
12, 1, 2, whatever time.
Beer and coffee.
Yeah, beer and lots of beer, lots of beer and lots of coffee.
And then you guys included a cover on the release.
Yeah.
Why did you guys choose Hurt as your cover song?
It's a very interesting story, that, actually.
we were toying with the idea of a cover, because a cover is always a great way to show diversity. And choosing the right cover, we could have covered anything. We could have done Nirvana, we could have done pretty much anything.
Whatever, yeah.
We wanted to look for something that was different and give it our own spin, which I feel we did. I went to a movie, and the preview for Logan came out. And I heard the Cash version, and I was like, man, this is great. So the next morning, I find Dave. I said, dude, I heard the song last night. He's like, I was in a movie like the day before, that was the one I heard it. And
it's
I was
like
thinking,
you went on the Saturday, I was on the Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and he's like, I heard that song, and I thought that would be cool to cover. So it was kind of like the universe, the stars had aligned.
And I just told me playing this, so I was like, sweet.
I wanted to get hold of you to talk to you about it, and I never ended up doing it.
And
so, yeah.
We kind of put it on the back burner, only really worked on it in studio. We didn't rehearse it anything beforehand. Brent asked
which is terrifying, by the way, if you ever have to do that, especially on the drums, it's terrifying.
Dave invented new swear words.
Yeah.
That song. We went in studio and we basically said to Brent, this is what we want to do. got the acoustic out and did it, and the magic happened and it came together.
Dude, that's sweet. So Nine Inch Nails or Johnny Cash?
Johnny Cash,
definitely.
Well, you got to have some respect for him writing the song,
man.
You know, but Johnny Cash is just, he's Johnny Cash. I mean, you can't, you got to have the cash.
Man in Black.
Yeah.
Okay, so then for anyone listening who didn't know, you guys had a bit of a brush with Gangs Ballet a while ago. And I don't know, that kicked up a lot of spark in the metal community. So you guys stated on Facebook that you were asked to adjust your songs to play a show with them. And then a lot of people got really upset about that. And
you reckon?
you guys obviously then ended up not playing the show. Would you guys care to clarify, like, what sort of happened?
We were approached by the owner of the venue to play support for these guys. We were stoked because we have a sort of mindset that we'll play with pretty much anyone we can.
Mm.
We have respect for anybody that has the balls to get on the stage and do what they do.
Absolutely.
And unbeknown to us, that the owner of the venue hadn't spoken to management, who had in turn hadn't spoken to Gangs of Ballet management, and so they got the shock that, oh, there's a support band, listened to our stuff and said, well, these guys are too heavy. And so they relayed the message back to the management, who in turn phoned us and said, listen, you got three choices pretty much. Turn it down, do an acoustic set, or don't play at all. We were literally 2 days out, so there was no ways to rehearse. We had one rehearsal left. We didn't have any time to change our set. We're a three-piece rock band. One guitar, drums, and bass. There's not much stripping down we can do with regards to that.
Stripped down as it is.
So we spoke about it. We made the decision not to play. And we were released. We had been encouraged to put advertising out. So we had done that. And then pretty much Dave released a statement on Facebook saying, we're not playing. We just said we're too heavy for what they want. And that's when the fire started.
And this was basically just that we wouldn't compromise on our sound.
Yeah, we basically said
we
believe in what we do. And we're not going to. It's just, we kind of fell over a barrel with this whole situation because we weren't even given a chance to really rectify the situation. We're just told, either do this, this, or this. So we said, okay, we'll DC, we're not going to play. And we're not going to just throw ourselves under the bus here too.
Yeah.
And Dave put the post out that we aren't playing, and people didn't take too kindly to what had happened. We never once directed any hate at those guys. We don't have any hate for them. And people were not very happy with them or the situation and decided to take up arms. And the post reached about 3,000 people over 24 hours.
It was crazy.
The following day, management from Gangs phoned me and she said to me, how do we fix this? What's going on? And I explained the situation to her. She said, look, we had no idea. This is a hiccup between the promoters. I said, look, long story short, we don't want any drama. We have no beef with those guys. We're just upset because we look like fools. We've advertised to play.
Mm.
Yeah.
We weren't worried that they were a completely different genre to us because we don't see that.
It seemed a bit crazy at the time, it was happening.
But the thing is, we love to play. And if we can play to five new people and get one new fan, we're happy.
Yeah.
So that was our mindset on this whole thing, and it went horribly pear-shaped. But then we released a statement the next day and a couple of people, after I'd spoken to management and from their side, I said, we got no ill feeling towards these guys. And it kind of died down after that. And then their drummer sent us a message saying, listen, dudes, we didn't even know what was going on. You know, I do suppose to some degree they are run by management and whatnot, and they may not always know the comings and goings of everything. But anyways, it is what it is. And like I said, we had no ill feelings towards them. We were just upset that we had been advertised to play. We've gone and marketed this, and now we look like we've got egg on our face, the whole situation. But anyways,
it was just kind of the power of social media took control, and people were voicing their opinions, and
some of those opinions were
pretty brutal. Like,
it still got intense. Yeah,
it did get
quite
intense.
Sitting there going,
so.
Man. Man, oh man, some of this stuff was pretty heated. We didn't say it, and there was a lot of venom out there, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Were you guys stoked that people got mad on your behalf?
Yeah, not stoked that they got mad. Like, you don't want people to get angry and start insulting everyone, because a scene is not meant to be everyone being upset about one band and, everyone attacking one band. We all need to kind of look after each other. It was more... we were happy that there was a discussion being, and that, maybe there is some reason that people want other genres to mix with each other, that it's okay for I mean, recently there's been shows going on, metal and hip-hop together at Cool Runnings and stuff like that. So that's happening. You know, we all for that. So we were happy that people were keen on that, not happy that they attacked the band. That was never the... But it's definitely a good thing that people want change. People want, you know, people to mix... You know,
it was quite weird to see Durbin wake up in 24 hours.
Yeah.
And it was pretty alarming.
Yeah, I know, it was weird, like with social media. It's crazy how it can have an effect on everything. It's like with the album launch, I think when we advertised for the album launch, we had like 1,500 views, whatever the case is, for that. And just with something with negative media, 24 hours, it was like 3,500, 4,000 views on this. And like, wow. So we got to, you know, it's scary.
Notice that people like negativity. So
yeah.
People
like drama.
I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
And then to sort of fast forward a bit, like to what happened lately, you guys had mentioned that you have been playlisted in other countries, like I think in the UK and Australia.
Yeah.
Why do you guys think that you're achieving more mainstream success in other countries than and not in South Africa?
It's a tough one. Music, people like what they like, especially in Durban. People are very niche orientated. You like a certain type of band. We're all guilty of it. We've all supported certain bands, not other bands. I think maybe the culture overseas is different to ours here, where they're more open-minded to maybe more venues, maybe more chance to see bands, more of a platform for heavier music or rock music, because let's be honest, there's no radio stations playlisting any type of bands that are... I couldn't think of a single band in Durban that would... Shame, even the guys from Gangs of Bad, they don't get East Coast radio. You know, that's the reality of it. I think that it's a lot more easily available over there to tune in and listen to pretty much any style that you want. So that could be part of it.
It's also a position we're in as a band that's, you know, not necessarily heavy enough to be metal, but not soft enough to be pop or middle of the road. So it's a difficult kind of genre to be in that sense, but, you know, You do what you do, you play what you play, and you market yourself where people want to hear that, and it seems to be very, very lucrative on that end, and well, at least, you know, radio play wise. It's difficult, and I think every band, anyone you speak to from any genre will tell you it's tough in South Africa to get yourself out there. Thanks. Whether or not you're a pop band or a heavy band or in between. So yeah, it's working. I don't know. It's been great.
And then at least with regards to South Africa, you guys recently got nominated for an SA Metal Award. How does that feel? It
feels awesome, actually.
We were shocked.
Yeah, shocked.
Still kind of shocked.
Because we don't really see ourselves as metal. We're more resided to the fact that we're a hard rock band.
Yeah.
We have some heavy guitar parts in it, but we don't see ourselves as a metal band. But it's an honor. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Had you asked me 2 weeks before that, I would have said, you're mad.
Yeah.
Can I?
How could that happen?
We still don't know how it happened.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel that these kinds of like accolades are important within like the rock and metal community to acknowledge these kinds of things?
Absolutely. It cements your legacy. It builds your legacy. You know, when all's said and done, you can look back and say, well, you know, I was a nominee or I won. So for me, it means a hell of a lot to me.
Yeah, playing music is primarily what we want to do. We love doing this, you know, whether it's, feast or famine, we want to play music.
When we started, it wasn't ever in the mindset that it was like we were going to just jam and have some fun.
We didn't even know if we were going to have an album. Like we didn't. Yeah. I didn't even consider it at the time. Like, so yeah.
That's cool. Then how do you guys feel with regards to the Grammys no longer televising any rock or metal sort of awards?
Yeah, that's bullshit. Look, it's the Grammys though, and the Grammys. You know, like bands like Megadeth and stuff now winning, but there's like no one in the crowd, and they played Metallica as they were coming down. It does feel like disrespectful, but you got to remember you're not out there looking for the Grammys respect. You're out there looking for the people that listen to you might be amped and might be getting upset, and I guess those bands they probably don't care that much about it. You know, to be acknowledged is to be acknowledged. They still have massive followings. They're still going to, even if you don't become a rock and roll Hall of Famer, you'll be remembered forever. So Grammys are just the Grammys. It's important, but you know, you don't live for that. You live for music. You play music.
You just need to go on YouTube and watch any documentary about metal and hard rock from the 80s, and you'll see that it's always been that way. It's the afterthought. And that's why people in this community are quite sentimental, and they love their bands. They support. I suppose
that's why
that's
they
also
jump up and defend you so fervently.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, it's because I love the love of the music. I think more than anything else, that's what people get. So because
yeah.
they love it so much, they protect it.
It's not a lot of genres that have that kind of following anymore, where they so you know diehard about things. And that's, I think, more special than winning an award, is that, you know, your crowd will be upset that you're not winning an award. That's almost the award in itself, I guess. But it's definitely nice to be nominated for something.
Of course.
That's, it's a huge honor.
No, that's cool. Because, I mean, even if you look at it from a logistical point of view, about a year or two ago, Tenacious D won Best Metal Award.
Yeah. That was
like
for the Dio, covers album, the tribute they did.
Yeah, which... I mean, that's cool, but I think, didn't they beat Mastodon and a bunch of other bands?
Yeah, another great band, one of my
80s,
favorites, yeah.
89,
yeah. Jethro Tull beat Metallica for a metal award back in the day. Lars even joked about it when they eventually won one. You know, thanks Jethro Tull for not releasing an album this year.
And also, just on a personal vendetta, Tyler, the Creator and Childish Gambino lost to Kendrick Lamar this year, and that's a personal thing that I have with the Grammys with regards to that.
And the Rock and Roll Hall of Shame.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Shame and Disgrace, yeah.
But I mean, I think, I guess we'll end it off on that bombshell, and I'd just like to thank you guys.
Thank
for,
you.
For
thank
coming
you guys
in tonight.
Support, man.
Thank you guys, and Durbin is yours.
Yeah,
appreciate
yeah
it, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, and
thank
I wish you guys all the best, and I hope whoever's listening to this will catch you at your next show.
We'll
thanks
see
guys.
You there, guys.
Enough,
thank you. Yeah. We know we'll see you guys there. So.
And if you want to find any of our stuff, go to www.alltheseyesterdays.com. You can download our EP for free.
Sweet.
And Facebook,
Instagram, all of those good things. Yeah.
And add Dean as a friend on Facebook.
Send him nudes.
No, please. I'll get divorced before I get married.
He'll send you nudes.
He's a blesser.
Oh, Dean.